Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Let us pray. Grant, Lord God, that gift of ever-increasing faith to each of us. For in our own fallen nature, we could never believe. But by thy blessed gift of the Holy Spirit, we can lay hold of Christ by faith alone. Grant thy word, grant blessing upon thy word to that end, we pray. Through his holy name, amen. Faith triumphant is a resurrection faith. Faith in the resurrection is a central tenet of saving faith. You know the text in Romans 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Two things saving faith requires: confessing Christ as your Lord and believing in his resurrection. You may remember years ago now, I don't remember when it was, I preached through all the sermons in the book of Acts in one sermon, an overview, a survey. I think it was 10 sermons in the book of Acts, all inspired by the Holy Spirit. The central point of every sermon was the resurrection. And it was interesting what was not in those sermons. They never told, even once, unbelievers that God loves you. They never told unbelievers that Christ died for you. We don't know who the elect are until they're saved, so to tell someone God loves you and Christ died for you is to say something you don't know. Suppose you tell him that, and he goes away satisfied, and he gets hit by a dump truck on the way home and wakes up in hell. Wait a minute, the preacher said God loves me. Now, that's the Arminian gospel, of course. God loves you, Christ died for you. It's never in the Bible, ever, to an unbeliever. Some Reformed preachers try to get around that by saying, Christ died for sinners just like you and me. Well, that's true, but it's not what the apostles said. The interesting thing is, they never mentioned the atonement. In those sermons, they didn't mention why Christ died. That the Jews put him to death, he rose from the dead, proving that he's the Lord, and he commands everyone to repent. Very simple. Now, teaching the church, the apostles said, God loves you, Christ died for you. But that's a judgment of charity. We assume that faithful members of the church are elect. In our passage today, Jesus promises us that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And he was telling Mary and Martha about believing in resurrection. Because if you believe in the resurrection of Lazarus, you believe in the resurrection of the Messiah. And if you believe in the resurrection of Messiah, you will see the glory of God in paradise. Now let's begin with verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Martha believes in the resurrection at the end of the world, but she doesn't yet fully understand who Christ is. So he explains to her that he is the resurrection. He is the one who will raise the dead and judge the quick and the dead. Saving faith means, he says, that you will never die. We touched on that last week. One of my favorite texts, you'll never die. And we sang, Jesus lives and death is now but my entrance into glory. For a Christian, death is a door to paradise. Now, when Jesus explains he's the resurrection and the author of life, now Martha understands his divinity and she makes this marvelous confession that he is the Messiah. He's the one in the Old Testament that was promised who had come from heaven to be the Savior. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master has come and calleth for thee. Martha told her sister Mary that the Master had come. Jesus was waiting outside of town. He's calling for her. But she said it secretly. She whispered it because there are many Jews here for this 7 days of comforting the mourners. And she's aware that many of these Jews, or at least some of them from Jerusalem, may be enemies of Christ. So she says it to her secretly. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Well, Martha tried to keep her visit to the grave and to Jesus a secret, but as soon as the Jews in the house see her rise up hastily and leave, they assume she must be going to the grave, so they all followed her. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. The same thing that Martha had said earlier. If you had been here, my brother had not died. Now, as I pointed out, with Martha, this shows a weak faith. She believed that Jesus had to be physically present to work a miracle. But we know that Jesus has only to speak the word. He doesn't have to be physically present. Whatever he says will happen. But it is a faith, although weak, because she believes that Jesus had the power to keep her brother from dying. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, come and see. Jesus wept. Observing everyone weeping, and his friend Mary weeping, Jesus groaned in the spirit. He was troubled in the spirit. And the Greek indicates something like his anger was stirred. What was he angry about? St. Augustine said he was angry at death. He was angry at the misery and death and sorrow that sin had brought upon the human family. And it says he wept. These verses for the last 2,000 years have assured the church of two things. One, the true humanity of our Lord. And the other, the heart of God. The sympathetic, loving heart of God. Jesus wept tears of sympathy. It matters to him about you, the old song says. For St. Peter says, cast your cares upon him. Why? He careth for you. It says in Hebrews, he is our high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus weeps tears of love and sympathy. He sympathizes with you in any of your trials and sorrows. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Some said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Remember, it wasn't long ago in Jerusalem that Jesus had opened the eyes of a man born blind who was an adult, been blind his whole life. A miracle that was very well known caused quite a stir in Jerusalem. Now some are questioning Jesus' power. Maybe they weren't witnesses of that miracle. Well, everybody's saying he opened the eyes of the blind, but how come he couldn't have kept this man from dying? Maybe he didn't actually open the eyes of the blind. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. It's a very common way of burying in that part of the world, not lowering into the ground, but using a cave or making an artificial cave in the side of a hill. Remember, Abraham bought a cave for the family burial place. And Jesus in the tomb was not lowered into the ground. He was placed in an artificial cave in the side of a rock. I think I've told you I've seen that. It's more like a very small room that's cut into a limestone abutment. And like Christ's tomb, the entrance was sealed with a stone. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." When Christ arose on Easter Sunday, the angel took the stone away from his tomb. Now, the angel didn't take the stone away from Christ's tomb so he could come out. His glorified body, he could appear and disappear at will. Like when his disciples were gathered together in a locked room, he suddenly appeared in their midst, had something to eat with them, and then disappeared again. The angels rolled away the stone from Jesus' tomb so people could look in and see that he was risen from the dead. But with Lazarus, it's different. His body has not been glorified like Jesus' body. It's still a normal human body, although miraculously preserved during these 4 days of death and now brought back to life. But Martha doesn't yet understand that Jesus is going to raise her brother from the dead, and so she tries to dissuade him from having the stone removed, because the body is by now putrefying. So she advises Jesus not to do it. And Martha is a feminine version of St. Peter. She's very happy to give Jesus advice. Remember when Martha was doing housework and Mary was listening to Jesus teach? Martha told Jesus, "Why don't you tell her to give me a hand with this housework?" Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" You know, the whole world is trying to get to heaven by their own efforts, their own good works, at least those who believe in heaven. But it all comes down to faith, doesn't it? If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Now you notice, this isn't a petition. Jesus is not asking his Father for anything. This is a conversation with his Heavenly Father in which he is thankful that they are in continual communion and of one will. He says, "The only reason I'm saying this aloud is so those standing by will understand that thou hast sent me. I am the Messiah. And they will believe." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Stone is off, tomb is open, but there is no horrible vapor of stench of death coming out of the tomb at all. And Jesus commands Lazarus to come forth, and he comes forth fully alive, wrapped in grave clothes, perfectly normal. Jesus tells the bystanders to remove the grave clothes. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went to the chief priests and the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. This is always a response to Christ's miracles, or even today to the gospel. Some are overwhelmed with joy and belief and true faith, and some are filled with anger at exactly the same miracle or exactly the same message. Many of the Jews believed. Some of them went to report him to the authorities as though he had done something wrong. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Now the Sanhedrin consisted of the priestly class, which were Sadducees, and they were flaming liberals, and Pharisees, which were ultra-fundamentalists. So they hated each other. The only thing they ever agreed on was they hated Jesus enough to unite in killing him. He's doing so many miracles that multitudes will believe in him. And this will cause a great movement among the people. The Jews, these Pharisees and Sadducees, are well aware that they rule only at the pleasure of Rome. And Rome can at any time come and disband the Sanhedrin and take away the nation. Rome is the ultimate authority in Judea, but the Romans give a little bit of local authority, usually picking the high priests themselves. So much that it degenerated. They can take away their nation. If we let Jesus keep stirring up the masses, the Romans may think, well, if you can't control the masses, we will. The irony, of course, is 40 years after they crucified Jesus, the Romans came and took away their place and nation. Exactly what they feared would happen if they didn't kill Jesus happened because they did kill Jesus. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, You know nothing at all. Josephus tells us he was a very rude and abrupt man, and you don't know what you're talking about. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this he spake not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. It may surprise you that this godless, Christ-hating high priest could prophesy something true. But you know, God had a prophecy through Balaam's ass. Pharaoh prophesied. Nebuchadnezzar prophesied. And even the holy prophets often are almost always said more than they understood. I'm sure Isaiah didn't understand everything he was prophesying, as we do. It is fulfilled. The Jewish high priest certainly doesn't understand that by God's providence he has prophesied that the death of Christ will save the holy nation of the church from perishing. St. Peter says the church is a chosen people, the holy nation. The death of this one man saves this nation, all the elect, from perishing. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. Well, this concludes Jesus' earthly ministry as an itinerant preacher. He won't return to Jerusalem until a few months later, when he comes for the last great feast, the Passover, where he will present himself as the Passover lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. If you believe, you will see forever the glory of God. Amen. Lord, we believe. We can say with that gentleman in the Bible, help thou our unbelief, or as a disciple said, increase our faith. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.